Is it now the case that everybody is so comfortable with their mental health that they will happily talk about it loudly and proudly? Because there's been quite a number of famous people, celebs of a certain ilk, who have come out recently. There's like a massive long list of people. We're going to be talking about this today and related issues. I always want to put that in inverted commas in the air. But joining me is on the outstream, we have Beth Rose.
Hello there.
And Emma Tracy.
Hi there.
He's way up in Scotland. On the telephone is Shawnee Malloy Vaughan, blogger. What's your blog? Secret Life of a Manic Depressive.
Yeah.
You're a very open blogger, I would say. So we're looking forward to talking to you. And Mark Brown, who is the development director of Social Spider. What's Social Spider?
Social Spider is a very, very small social enterprise, but mainly what I do is mental health stuff, drink tea and faff about.
So moving on with the subject then, famous people. Beth, you have a list of people who have recently come out. Are we saying come out?
Yeah, I think so. They've all sort of announced in various forms their mental health issues. So literally in the last, 3 months, we've had Will Young, Zayn Malik with anxiety. This week, boxer Tyson Fury in depression. The singer JoJo, who is 25 and has depression. Devin Murray, who plays Seamus Finnegan in Harry Potter. Kid Cudi.
Who's that?
So he's an actor and a recording artist.
Okay.
He's got depression. The X Factor winner James Arthur, who's currently number one. Selena Gomez. Camila Cabello from Fifth Harmony. Cara Delevingne, who's an actress and model. Miley Cyrus, and also, this has been a while ago, but Catherine Zeta-Jones as well. So these have all been in the news in the past few weeks, really. A lot of them with depression or anxiety issues to the extent of cancelling huge gigs and lots of work.
So it's Shawnee and Mark. This is one heck of a list. Would we have seen this list 10 years ago?
No, I don't think so.
What's changed?
I don't know. I think one of the things that has changed is there's an expectation of people disclosing more about their lives because of social media and stuff. It's much less easy to hide things. Maybe I'm showing my age here, but was it 10 years ago that Britney Spears shaved her head? And that was, that was kind of the way that mental health problems tended to come out. It would be some kind of paparazzi person snapping from a distance. But now we're putting our own lives centre stage in a more open way, and there's also, I think, more of a dialogue between celebrities and the fans now as well. There's cutting out the middleman and talking directly. So there's, I think, people are talking more on the level of the people who, are their fans. I mean, that's one thing, but I think there's just generally more of an open dialogue about mental health.
Mark?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. So I was thinking about it, that kind of celebrity doesn't quite work the way it used to, and I think Shanine's really right in terms of that permeability between famous people and not famous people, because you've got that social media thing. So it's kind of, a lot of people are really famous in some spheres and not particularly famous in others. So it's kind of a sense of people being people first. And Shanine's saying, the thing is that kind of access to people's lives is based on a kind of disclosure anyway. You're kind of giving your privacy away in return for celebrity and fans and likes and stuff like that. So the mental health stuff, I think, follows on from that. But I also think it's kind of, we are at the end of a decade of lots of people talking about their mental health, and celebrities weren't always famous and are people. And it's kind of a sort of shift in...
What do you mean by that?
If you think back to Marilyn Monroe, if you think back to Gregory Peck, you can't really imagine them like sending a message out to 1950s America saying, "I just had a really good poo." But you can imagine a number of celebrities sending just that tweet out and it getting, 75,000 likes, and that's awesome. So it's kind of, you get a sense of people as people. And one of the things about people, once you know people as people, not public faces, is you do begin to pick up when people aren't having a good time. It's really hard to hide very often the fact that you have a mental health difficulty. You used to be able to go, yeah, it's just drugs. They're obviously just, they've been maxing out their flowers and hospitality budget. But now it's like, actually more acceptable. It's actually, it's not drugs. I've not been whizzing off my my nipples for the last 6 years. I've actually experienced a mental health difficulty, and that's why I've been a bit erratic. So I think that is a change.
Because we liked to think, in some ways, we sort of liked to think of our stars as being a bit different, a bit, I don't know, a little bit crazy, a little bit out there, a little bit rock and roll.
But I think if you look at sort of the list that was outlined, the people there, and if they're talking about sort of depression and anxiety, like depression and anxiety are really mundane experiences. They're not really exciting. They're not the ones that are at like the far end of, way, this is a brilliant mental health difficulty to experience. They're the ones that kind of make you go, you know what, I was going to go on television, then it was going to be brilliant, then I was going to go and fly on a jet, but instead what I'm going to do is sit in my onesie and eat dry cereal.
You do also have that perception, don't you, or in your mind, of a celebrity as just having that perfect life and being completely solid because they've achieved the generally unattainable. They've reached the top of whatever it is that they are hoping to reach the top of. So you have this presumption that once you get to that summit, you should be fine and you should be able to fly through life without any problems. So it's often a shock, actually, isn't it, when these celebrities do make the statement. And I guess it just brings them back down to earth and back to kind of the lay people.
But I think that nature of celebrity thing, there's a lot of people who are very famous and very visible, but aren't necessarily very rich or very cosseted. So there's a number of people looking down that list will not have flunkies to go to the supermarket to get their fresh fruit. You know, they'll be down at Morrison's in the reduced aisle waiting, you know, to pick up the yogurts just as they go off. You are, in a lot of senses, more visible. You trade your privacy for a degree of your fame. And I think that's often where it's difficult for people like bloggers because you become very visible, but your life doesn't necessarily change, you know, and bloggers are celebrities of a sort within their sphere.
Shauneen, your cue, I think.
Yeah, I think when you're a mental health blogger, there is a degree of trading your privacy because there's an expectation that you're going to write and be honest about things. And it can be really hard, actually, especially if you're doing well, to write when you're not. And also sort of the other way around, because people read your blog for insights into mental illness. And when you're not mentally ill, it's kind of like, well, why would I read it? So yeah, it's a strange kind of double bind. Neither one thing nor the other is exactly what is wanted, really.
Shauneen, you were quite big in the blogging world. I'm not saying you're not anymore, but you at the height of your blogging, when you blogged really, really regularly, and it was very, as Damon said initially, very open and very honest. You know, you got a lot of attention then. Was that, how did that affect your actual mental health at the time? You know, was that, how did that go hand in hand with your difficulties at that point?
Yeah, it was difficult. I mean, it was great as well. I still write. I mean, I do write probably less, but that's mostly because life's got in the way. Most of the time I was blogging, it was, you know, it wasn't working, so it wasn't very well. But it was good, and I always appreciated the fact that people wanted me to speak about stuff, and I always tried to, you know, represent just my own experiences. I've never, ever felt I could speak for anyone else. Blogs, you do have to sit down and write them. I mean, you can do it on the fly on WordPress and your phone, but it's not the same, and I don't think many people do use their phone to update a blog. But, yeah, social media is just there. It's there 3 a.m. when you can't sleep. And, yeah, I think it's just much more accessible medium. You don't have to sit down and try and think of this 500-word post, like 140 characters, and it's right there.
Yeah. I want to bring Mark back in as well at this point. It strikes me, my analysis of social media and mental health is that it's really quite a divided situation, where there's one swathe of people who think that social media is really quite dangerous and a problem, and others who, as Shauneen was saying there, can get some real benefit from it, shared experiences.
Well, I mean, the first thing I've got to say is I have to give my massive thanks to Shauneen, because it was your blog that inspired me to start doing mental health stuff. So I wanted to say that,
this morning.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I'm getting feedback. The thing about social media is, like, I was thinking about this the other day. We kind of suggest to people it'd be a really, really good idea to tell their stories in public, and we get people to sort of line up as kind of soldiers in this war against mental health stigma, or any other kind of sort of social problem. And it's great, and you get a diversity of voices, and you get a much wider view of what the situation is for people, and it's not statistics and abstraction and stuff like that. But on an individual level, on a personal level, you can control the story you tell about yourself, but you can't control how people respond to it. And one of the interesting things about social media is you can, you know, spend six months agonizing over revealing something about yourself or talking about something you've not talked about in public before. So you can get yourself ready. You go, right, this is the day I'm going to tell people that, you know, actually I've been hearing voices for 20 odd years and I didn't really tell anyone about it. And then the first answer you get on Twitter is, you're a dick. And the second answer you get is, oh, I didn't know that about you. That's amazing. We should have a cup of coffee. You don't control how people respond. And it's really interesting. So any of those celebrities we were talking about earlier that came out, they all have got lots and lots of people who are very supportive. They have lots and lots of people who've drawn sort of succour and reassurance from this famous person who they feel they have an affinity with coming out. And there'll be another group of people like those arrows at the start of Dad's Army coming snaking in across the map just to say horrible things. And I think this is why social media is really interesting, because it is just people. And I think it honestly divides along the way people divide. So what I notice is I can say stuff about mental health and I just get a couple of people in response to my tweets going, oh, that's really interesting. A colleague or a friend who happens not to be a white sort of, you know, nearly middle-aged bloke, I'm sort of talking about myself being nearly middle-aged now, happens not to be a white middle-aged bloke, their answers are full of people mansplaining to them, telling them they can't be, you know, they can't have that condition, why are you always asking for sympathy, etc., etc. So who you are really depends. And in some respects, like when you're a celebrity, you've kind of risen above that. But other people don't have that protection.
Can I just pick up on something Mark said about the, because I completely agree with him. I think especially women of colour get such a hard time on social media. But in terms of celebrities rising above it, I'm not sure that's entirely true, because there's like, I mean, at least this is something I've noticed, there's a real big difference in the way different celebrities' mental health disclosures are received. And one of them being the fact that a woman disclosing about her mental health doesn't tend to get the same reaction as a man. Because I think partly it's because men talking about mental health, it's less common and it's something to be lauded, but it's that women's mental health problems are just taken less seriously. I mean, this is again showing my age, but I remember when Carrie Katona came out about having bipolar disorder. And she appeared on This Morning, and she was clearly under the influence of her medication that she took for it. And she got absolutely crucified. And generally, I mean, that seems to be a trend with women. It's, you know, they're really ridiculed, especially if they have something, you know, like bipolar disorder, as opposed to men who, you know, say, oh, wow, well done, you're so brave. And
there's a weird thing where we kind of look at men talking about their mental health as being kind of noble and dignified. And when we look at sort of women talking about their mental health in public, we look at them as being like messy and undisciplined and letting their emotions fall all over the place. And it really, really gets my goat. I was going to swear there, but I realised we're...
You're agreeing, Charlene. You're agreeing with that analysis.
Do I agree? Yeah, completely. Yeah. I mean, and also just as a blogger, like a woman blogger, I have got quite a lot of abuse for being that, a woman blogger, and it's been very gender linked. It's like, oh, it's attention-seeking girl, especially when I was younger, you know, like, you're just a stupid, silly teenager, that kind of thing, from men. Yeah, definitely, I think and I don't think in that respect much has changed over the past 10 years, when quite a lot of other things have.
Even when Sheridan Smith recently had to take a break from this musical she was in, I wish I could remember what the musical was, because of...
Funny Girl?
Yes, it was, because of exhaustion and stress and stuff like that. She got a bad reaction as well, and I was just thinking, how can you give someone a bad reaction when, you know, she had circumstances around it? And but why would you react like that?
I think this notion that for some people talking about your mental health is a kind of untrustworthy trump card that you pull when you've got no other answers. So basically what you're trying to do is provide an excuse for your unacceptable behaviour. So when someone like Sheridan Smith goes, yeah, I can't do those performances, it's like, yeah, well, mental health means that everyone goes, oh, poor you, but really you've just done something really bad and you're covering it up. So for some people, there's still a core notion that mental health is so bad that you wouldn't talk about it in public. So if you do talk about it in public, you're basically pretending and covering something else up. Mm. And that's how stigma works. Like, why would you allow other people to know those personal things about you.
And Zayn Malik pulled some of his gigs. Beth, you know more about this because of...
I know a little bit more. He cancelled a huge gig in Dubai in September, and I think he had cancelled maybe two or three previously. And I mean, these are huge, huge gigs, thousands and thousands of fans or tickets sold. And it wasn't the case that fans were told that another gig would be rescheduled in January or something. It was money back, so there's no sense that he will go back there. But it must take an enormous amount of strength to actually cancel something like that.
Welcome to the world of mental health difficulty. I don't know about you, Shaneen, but my life's a litany of things what I did cancel and not do. What do you, is that your experience?
Pretty much my entire life.
Yeah.
But I do agree that it took a lot of guts to do that, because things I cancel, it's like I sent a message to a person or rang into work. But I mean, to do it in front of
millions,
like, thousands and millions of people, I think takes so much.
I just want to bring you both back to some examples. I think listeners would be really interested to know, how do you talk about cancelling things? How do you cancel
awkwardly
big things?
Always.
How do you do it, and how do you feel when you do it?
It depends who it's with, I guess. Like, it's really close friends. For example, me and Mark, we're friends. And if we, like, you know, make an arrangement to meet up and don't, it's kind of like, oh, okay.
That's the basis of our relationship. The basis of our relationship is arranging to meet up and then going, it's not going to happen. I'm feeling a bit rubbish.
Yeah, never doing it. But
you both understand.
Yeah,
oh,
we do.
God, yeah.
Totally. So just no kind of hard feelings about it. But when it's other things, that's much more difficult.
Well, I'm one of those people who, you know, spends 6 or 7 hours getting ready to go to something, you know, planning obsessively and walking around and pacing around and doing my hair and, you know, pouting in the mirror and worrying about doing it and stuff like that. And then put off, setting off, and then get to the place. It happened with someone's leaving drinks, for instance. It took me ages to get there. Got to the door of the pub. Right, I'll just have another vape. I'll walk around the block a bit. I'll just walk around again. 3/4 of an hour later, I'm still pacing around the pub, looking through the windows to see, can I go in there? No, it's a bit full. And then I have to go home. So the person gets a text message saying, oh, I'm sorry, I can't make it. I was only on the other side of the glass. And that's an anxiety thing. So sometimes I don't know whether it's going to be okay to do something until I get there. Although bizarrely, in professional settings and when I get to flap my arms around and play a role, that isn't a problem at all. That I just turn up and I hit my mark and I do my thing. And that's a great relief. But when in those social situations, for me, it's kind of often awkward and difficult. And I just do the stupid thing and think, I've got to go. It's really important. Everyone will hate me if I don't go. And then get there and I go, no, I can't go in there. That's rubbish.
And are people quite understanding?
Well, the reality is they have to be. So I imagine what there's been is a sort of a relatively sort of hopefully slender attrition rate over my life of people who didn't get it, who are no longer my friend or no longer put up with it. So I think once you get to a certain age with mental health difficulty, often the people who are left in your life are the people who get you and are prepared to make those accommodations around you. And the people who aren't have called you a and stormed out about 5 years previous.
Lots of beeps we're having to put into today's podcast.
I'm just so excited to be on the wireless.
I just wonder how much Zayn Malik's fans will stand of him cancelling gigs and constantly cancelling. And that battle he must be having about, you know, whether I can do a gig today, whether I'm in a right, you know, in the right frame of mind. Will fans stick by them?
Yeah, I think some of his core fans pretty well. They're all quite young, a lot of them. A lot of young girls. So I think some will understand. Others, of course, will just be really upset.
Mark Brown, Shaneen Malloy-Vaughan, thank you very much for talking to us today. It's been fascinating.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
This has been Inside Ouch. Emma Tracy and Beth Rose as well. Thank you for being there. You can email ouch@bbc.co.uk if you want to join in with the discussion or tell us some of your stories. Tweet @BBCOuch, and we are on Facebook as well. Are we anywhere else? We're other places, probably.
On the interweb.
On the internet.
On the web, on the new BBC News website.
We'll be back next Friday. That was me. I've edited it so that we'll just say.
Yeah, we'll be back next Friday. That was a lovely actual end. Just put that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll fine. Good.
So I ended on a diner there. I was like, oh, I hope he listens to it. And then he tweets us and then invites us to his house.
That'd be lovely.
Let's have a cup of tea. Mentals together.
I'd bring him some expensive biscuits.
Oh, are you in the studio?
I am, yeah.
Oh, I'm on my bed with a cat.
Oh, it's because we didn't call you in time. We could have got you in, but
no,
we didn't.
I have to work anyway, so it's okay. I've put Bing on downstairs.
Oh, God. How is he?
He's all right. I've been like remote controlling Bing for my plan.
You are blessed. I couldn't do that. My child would be.